Welcome to the Midday for a Monday. I'm Norman Gilliland, happy to be once again in our Buck studio, meaning live music for this hour. And it's going to come from Anthony Padilla, who has come down from the Lawrence Conservatory, the Lawrence University Conservatory of Music in Appleton, to be with us all for the Midday today. Welcome to the Midday.
Thank you, Norman.
And thanks a bunch for coming down. You have a class right at 3, so you're going to do as soon as it's done, it's going to be pedal to the metal, and I'm not talking about the piano at that time either. You have a fascinating angle to the things you're going to be playing today, to your program, all these different transcribers of the music of Johann Sebastian Bach, and it turns out there's a host of them.
Yes, I've been working on a sabbatical project this fall on piano transcriptions, and focusing first on various transcriptions of works of J.S. Bach, works that he composed for organ, for solo violin, and also solo unaccompanied cello, as well as
harpsichord.
Right. So that's a flute sonata, or a flute and harpsichord that is transcribed, and some cantata movements as well for whole orchestra and chorus that have been transcribed by composers ranging from Rachmaninoff to current-day composers.
And so what are you doing with this project exactly?
Well, I gave a large-scale seminar on the art of piano transcriptions, also focusing on opera transcriptions of Liszt, ballet transcriptions by Russian composers, Stravinsky and Prokofiev, and Lieder, as well as orchestral works of Brahms and Ravel. And I just, before getting to those composers, I wanted to start with the tradition of bringing works of Bach that he composed for other instruments to the keyboard, which pianists such as Myra Hess have done to popularize many of his works.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, certainly true. And leading composers have, over the years, taken pride in their knowledge of, sometimes encyclopedic knowledge of Bach. And one of those who seems to have had, from earliest childhood, an encyclopedic memory for performing the composers, including Bach, was Saint-Saëns. So you're going to start with Camille Saint-Saëns.
Right. And this is the opening overture or sinfonia from his Bach's D major cantata number 29, known as the Ratsfall cantata. And the choral text is, "We thank thee, Lord, we thank thee."
Thank you.
Well, the joy certainly comes through, doesn't it? You're taking what was originally this sacred work and turning it into a concert piece, but the spirit of Bach still comes through.
Yes, this is a very celebratory opening to this bright D major toccata. And organists have also transcribed this for organ. Marcel Dupré has a famous transcription as well. And this is one of a couple of piano transcriptions that I'm aware of. Wilhelm Kempe has also transcribed it as well.
The great pianists just can't keep their hands off of Bach.
Yes, it's such a wonderful inspiration and just incredible, unlimited amount of musical genius to draw from.
Yeah, and endless inventiveness. And he applied some of that inventiveness to writing pieces for his children and his other family members to play.
Yes, the next piece I'm playing is taken from a little keyboard work that Bach wrote for one of his sons, Wilhelm Friedemann Bach. And it's just a little little ditty, a little etude, simple etude, with a repetitive pattern, ostinato pattern that goes throughout. And Alexander Sulotti transcribed that little harpsichord work for piano, adding counterpoint to it, and it turns into a very meditative contemplation. And Emil Galels used this transcription a lot in his as an encore, and it was such a magical spell that he cast on the audience when he ended his concerts. And so this has been one of my favorites, this B minor prelude.
Well, you're right. It does have a wonderful sense of inner peace and contemplation that comes through in that piano rendition.
Right. And this arrangement by Alexander Sulotti brings in that Russian melancholy as well.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
To mix in with his own feelings about that piece, and that probably carried over into his student, Rachmaninoff.
The composers after Bach who discovered him. I'm wondering where those first transcriptions come from. Do you have a sense of that, Anthony? I mean, I know Mozart, for example, knew of Bach, but just kind of thought, wow, this is a person from whom I can learn some things, but I'm not sure he did transcribe things, or did he? How early do they go?
He may have. I know that he transcribed choral music by other Baroque composers, and even pre-Baroque, I think there's some Renaissance composers as well that he transcribed. And he was heavily influenced by when he first heard Bach's music, and his own music became so much richer. I'm thinking of that incredible last movement of the Jupiter Symphony that involves a very complex counterpoint that he must have been inspired by Bach.
Well, you don't get much further from Bach, at least in theory, than the Romantics, the most romantic of all, I suppose, being Franz Liszt, you know, fabled for being so flamboyant. On the other hand, of course, he did have this introspective, priestly side to him, too. So what does Liszt do with Bach?
Well, actually, I think they have so much in common. I actually feel that Baroque music is very romantic, and if you look at the organ music of Bach, it's extremely flamboyant and improvisatory and virtuosic, very much in the same vein as Franz Liszt's piano music. And Liszt must have seen this in Bach when he transcribed almost all of Bach's preludes and fugues for organ. And that comes through in this A minor one that I'll play next. I'll just play the prelude of the great A minor prelude and fugue for organ by Bach.
Thank you.
a combination of Bach and Liszt, two composers at the surface you might think very different. But as my guest today, Anthony Padilla, makes the point that they had, after all, quite a bit in common. And it comes through in that piece, the Prelude in A Minor. Another composer whose name we associate almost inevitably with Bach, I mean, it's almost like they have a hyphenated name, is Busoni, Ferruccio Busoni, early 20th century composer.
Exactly, yeah. Ferruccio Busoni, who's also a composer as well as Liszt, he went a step further than Liszt. Liszt was actually very faithful to Bach's original version of the organ works, and he basically transcribed it almost note for note. It may have sounded like Liszt, but that was pretty much mostly Bach, plus a few more ornaments that I myself added. Busoni, on the other hand, had this philosophy that every performance of every piece is a transcription. And he took it even a step further when he did arrange works. And so, for instance, the great C major toccata that I'll play the middle movement of, Busoni added his own ending, an alternate ending, extending the ending that Bach composed and it takes it a step further.
So Bach and Busoni.
Thank you.
Busoni, definitely coloring in his own way the music of Bach. It seems to me, particularly in the left hand, some of those harmonies you wouldn't find in
Bach. He added a few extra overtones to imitate the bass pipes of the organ.
Now back with my guest down from the Lawrence Conservatory of Lawrence University Conservatory of Music, Anthony Padilla, and these transcriptions of works by Bach. Now we've talked about from time to time a couple of things here that are coming up next, I think, Anthony. Counterpoint is one, the word that we kind of mentioned casually, and it's possible that we all need a quick crash course on what exactly it is. It's so fundamental to Bach.
Sure. The next example that I have is another cantata movement. This one, probably one of the most famous. It's been popularized as Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring. It's actually, Bach quotes the Lutheran choral hymn, Be Thou Cheerful, O My Spirit, by earlier 17th century composer Johann Schopp. And this is in his 147th cantata, Heart and Mouth and Deed and Life. And the hymn, I'll just play the hymn that Bach will quote. Of course, Bach himself will rearrange this, and he actually turned it into three, four times. So he put it he swung it.
It's a good waltz rhythm.
And added extra counterpoint around it as well, that wove an extra contrapuntal lines around this beautiful Lutheran hymn.
And then Dame Myra Hess. Notable.
Oh, she was so inspired when she heard this. She was rehearsing the three keyboard concerto at a Bach festival in London in 1920. And she was so inspired when she heard this that she went home and read it from the full score and then ended up ending a lot of her concerts with playing this chorale as an encore, and everyone just urged her to write it down on paper, and it's been one of the most celebrated piano transcriptions of all time, recorded by the likes of Dino Lupati, another great pianist who was the teacher of one of my former teachers, Bela Shiki.
And so Dame Myra has a lot of credit due her for making this such a popular piece.
Right, and I used to play this in a four-hand version with my sister when I was growing up in church, and then since then I've also been looking at other transcriptions after Myra Hess. There's one by Harold Bauer and one by Wilhelm Kempf, and I tried to weave these all together in my own version that incorporates all three of these transcribers. Thank you.
There are a lot of directions you could have taken that.
Yes, I love all three of these arrangements, and I'm cutting and pasting my own version, a hybrid version of this.
Explored some new ones there. These next two pieces, and I think you all consider them almost as companion pieces to the one we just heard, Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring. Maybe we should hear those back-to-back. The first, Wilhelm Kempff, of course, notable pianist, doing his arrangement, transcription.
Yes, this is the slow movement from Bach's flute sonata, flute and harpsichord sonata, the second of those in E-flat major. And this movement is the Siciliano in G minor. And then followed by that, I will go directly into the Egon Petri arrangement of another cantata movement, Sheep May Safely Graze, from the Hunt cantata.
now one more from Bach, this time Max Reger, the transcriber of an organ chorale prelude.
Thank you.
Max Reger and Johann Sebastian Bach combined there, as they often were, and the organ chorale prelude in D. And my guest today for a really fascinating hour has been Anthony Padilla, coming down from Lawrence University, where he teaches piano and chamber music. A great pleasure having you down, Anthony.
Thank you so much, Norman.
Look forward to the next time.
I do too.